This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast
with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
And we welcome our newest commercial partner to the Accounting Influencers Podcast. It's Practice Ignition. You like these guys, Martin, don't you? What do you like about them?
I like what accounting firms tell me, Robert. And one of the things that I ask accounting firms is, why add this to your app stack? Another thing to use, another piece of technology. So why? And they say, because when it comes to winning new work, they can send a proposal immediately after a meeting with a prospect, and it includes their terms and conditions, their sales brochure, place to enter payment, info and sign. It just shortens their sales cycle.
Well, I like the onboarding thing. There's no more chasing payments, because they get the clients to put in the payment details, they digitally sign it, they get it billed automatically, and it's on the schedule of the accounting practitioners. That just makes so much sense.
Yet no more double or triple checking that invoice has been paid in the accounting software. It's done automatically. And when you send a proposal or you get paid, PI crunches the numbers and spits out just about every metric you could ask for. So there's no more spreadsheets or wondering how you're doing.
Yeah, it's the best in class for what they do. And if people want to go to practiceignition.com, use this special code AIR21, A-I-R-21. You'll get 25% off all plans for your first 6 months. So just go to the website and get your 14-day trial and you're up and running. Welcome to our special expert this week. It's Geraldine Carter. Good day to you.
Hello, Rob. Good day to you.
Geraldine, for people that haven't met you, tell us your answer to the question, what do you do?
I consult for CPAs and I help them improve their pricing.
Pricing is a great topic. Why is it such a contentious issue for CPAs and accountants? Because we're jumping right in here.
Sure. Well, I should hope that it's not contentious and that it's a really obvious thing to want to improve, because it makes such a difference so quickly. And you can improve your prices this evening and be more profitable tomorrow morning. So the single longest lever that you can pull, the easiest in your business, that makes a big difference. So I would think that that would not create contention.
I get that. By contentious, I mean that accountants must struggle with this, else you wouldn't be teaching them this, would you?
So what we're talking about here is the traditional way of pricing, which is not pricing, it's hourly billing, but billing in arrears is not pricing, it's not the same thing. And it's old, it's ineffective, it creates all kinds of problems. I like to say that it is like nuclear waste, it touches every surface, it is invisible, and given enough time, it will kill you. When you learn how to price, your life gets easier, your clients get better, you don't have to chase them for money, your relationships get better with your clients, their results get better, and it just creates an upward spiral. So I appreciate that in the industry that hourly billing is sort of the old school way of doing it, and it's been around forever, and it's in air quotes tried and true, but that doesn't make it. What we see when we have clients shift into actually pricing and a multi-price mindset and using different pricing tools is that it makes their businesses run so much better.
We'll dip into some of the misconceptions about pricing in a moment, but tell us how you got here, a little bit about your journey to
now. Sure. Well, I mean, it's quite a scenic tour, so I'll spare you, but the salient piece is that I started a business about 12, 13 years ago, and in 6 years, we were running $1 million or more in revenue, and I could not get the help that I needed from my accountant or my CPA. They both had their heads down. They were too busy. I needed cash flow forecasting, scenario planning. And I didn't even know the words for those things. And they just left me to my to myself to figure it out. And so I did. And I spent a lot of time modeling and trying to figure out what we were going to need for cash flow and all the rest using fancy Excel spreadsheets. And when I needed a change in my life, I started working as consulting, helping other business owners with the financial side of their business. And I started wondering, where is your accountant? Where's your CPA? How come they're not helping you with this? And then long story short, some CPAs came to me and asked for some business strategy. And then I discovered what was going on behind the scenes with CPAs being generalists and kind of all looking exactly like each other and selling deliverables instead of outcomes and pricing, billing in arrears instead of pricing the services. So you can help with those things to do. It gets the CPA off the tax hamster wheel and into a thriving business instead of working like Matt for peanuts.
And you've got a technical engineering background, haven't you? Does that bring a scientific approach to pricing? Because it can be quite an emotional, subjective topic, can't it?
Yeah. So the engineering background is really useful because, you know, in engineering, we like to say, if you're going to, you know, estimate a spherical cow, right? because we're always estimating. We can't get exact things, but we can approximate. And being able to solve problems that are endlessly complex when it comes to a CPA's life and a CPA's business, there's a lot going on, but we need to estimate in order to plan for capacity, in order to anticipate how much, you know, figure out what revenue is going to be and try and go way out into the future and then figure out the solution, reverse engineering, if you will. So that proves to be very handy. And then from the pricing side, like you say, the emotionality of it, I had a podcast guest on. So I do, of course, have a podcast. And my guest said, you know, all pricing is really just made up, which for an accountant is kind of a record scratch because they want precision and formulas. And we love formulas to be able to calculate things. But at the end of the day, pricing is like beauty. It is entirely subjective. And what one person will say, one person will spend for a thing is different than what another person will spend for the very same thing. And therefore, we need to get comfortable with the idea of subjectivity when it comes to pricing. And then how we actually get to pricing, prices for CPA is to test what their clients will pay. So we kind of take the, we reduce the emotionality, if you will, by simply testing within certain guardrails what their clients will pay, and then kind of back into something that has the feeling of being formulaic, even though it's entirely subjective. Yeah.
We'll dip into some strategies, but first let's strip away some of the misconceptions. You've alluded to hourly billing and timesheets as a problem, but what else do accountants misinterpret when it comes to pricing?
Anything that is not hourly tends to get called value, and there's Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of like value-based fees. Everybody's talking about value-based fees. But what most accountants are doing and what is being taught as in air quotes value-based fees is not really value-based fees. It's more flat rate. It's setting a flat rate that is decided in advance based on certain parameters.
Is that similar to fixed pricing, Geraldine?
Yeah, sure. So flat rate, fixed pricing. So whereas value-based fees, I think of having a conversation with one-on-one with your client, with your prospect about what the value is to them, and asking a series of questions called the why questions and other ones that help you ascertain the value of the service, of the outcome to the buyer, and making a rough attempt to quantify that value. So you're having it, that is a one-on-one conversation where you will end up providing a menu of three choices so that the prospect can choose. And in value-based pricing, you are leaving the least amount of potential profit on the table by having that conversation. But with value-based pricing, in doing it that way, it is emotionally intense, if you will. It is, right, it requires a conversation and it's time intensive. So it's not scalable, but it does leave the least amount of profit on the table. Whereas with flat rate, in terms of this misconception, the way that it's being talked about in the industry, when you flat rate fixed price something, you can scale it. It's the same price for a certain segment of your population and it's scalable and it doesn't require the one-on-one conversation to ascertain and quantify the subjective nature of the outcome that your prospect is looking for.
Let's deep dive on value for a moment. It is such a subjective term, as you're saying. It is a very nebulous term. There are some elements of value that are extremely tangible. We talk about ROI and metrics and downloads or sales or new clients, and that's very measurable. But a lot of value is less tangible. How do you go about quantifying it when you're putting a price in place?
Yeah. So you as a seller can't quantify. Only your buyer can do it, right? So what you, the technique that you can use is when you're having the conversation about, you know, the conversation goes something like this. So I'll pretend that I'm the seller and I would say to the buyer, let's just pretend that we could create all these things. We could generate all these outcomes. We could really hit a home run into the upper deck. Sorry for you, Brits. That's a really great thing, right? So let's pretend that it can be amazing and we'll get all the outcomes and we'll really knock it out of the park. What would that be worth to you? And then you just pretend and you'd be a little bit ridiculous and you anchor it way out at the end and you say, would that be worth you? I don't know, like $10 million, $1 million, $100,000, $250,000, $50. Give me a sense here of what we're talking about. And they'll say, and at that point, because you've given them such a spread, they'll be able to narrow it just based on their gut, which I realize is uncomfortable for accountants, right? We want the formula, but they'll say, I don't know, $250,000, $300,000. And so now at that point, they have quantified their squishy thing. So then from there, if it's worth $250,000, $300,000 to them, you can come up with the services. Now you define the scope after you've determined the value. You go back to your desk and you plan the scope for what you could do to meet the outcomes at a variety of different price points and varying the done for you, done with you, or here's a set of training videos and a checklist.
I love your idea of giving them a range to pick from, because when you ask somebody what's that worth to you, that's a very difficult number to pick out. And I use a similar technique when I'm closing deals and chasing prospects in terms of that next touch point. And instead of saying to them, when do you want me to follow up, or when's good to pick this up again, I will say, when's best for us to speak again? A couple of months, a couple of years, a couple of weeks, you tell me. And they will pick something out from that that works for them. And you're doing that with pricing, aren't
you? Yeah, exactly that. You're giving them, by giving them the broad range, they can help narrow, and it's totally by gut feel.
So when you've got a price there, are there tools that help with this? Technology, tables, metrics, checklists, things like that? Because if they say £250,000, that's what it's going to be worth to me. You don't charge them £250. You've still got to come up with a price, have you?
So you can think about a 5-to-1 or a 10-to-1 ROI. Most people will happily go for a 10-to-1 ROI. 5-to-1 ROI is still pretty good. And you're kind of gauging, you know, you as a seller are gauging a bunch of things. You're gauging how badly do I want the client? You're gauging how much risk am I taking on? How much risk are they taking on? And all these other things in the background. But just in terms of what tools can you use? Because I think what CPAs and accountants are really looking for is help me figure out, like, help me get started on thinking differently and offering a different methodology, if you will, for my pricing. And what I do with my clients when I'm working with them one-on-one is we identify different subsets of their clients and we create bronze, silver, gold for the different subsets of their clients. So broadly speaking, typically there's a bucket of clients between 100K and 500K in annual revenue. There's one between 500K and a million. There's one for 1 to 5 million and maybe 5 million on up. Or you can, you know, if you're a larger firm with clients with more in revenue, you can move those buckets up the scale. But typically you've got clients that you can put into 4 or 5 buckets. And then for each one of those buckets, you're going to design bronze, silver, gold level of services for that bucket. And then maybe it'll be, and it will include the varying, the whole list of services that you might offer. And you make it gold by speeding up the response time, by adding more white glove, more concierge level services. And you make it bronze by kind of stripping it down to the very basics, so that you present your client with 3 options from which they can choose, and the service that you've designed is targeted to them in their revenue rate. Because the business owner at $10 million needs a very different set of services than the business owner at $100,000.
That makes really good sense. And when we look at the compliance advisory debate, we know that there's downward pressure on the regular things that accountants do. Those fees are evaporating with automation and tech and everything else. So when we move into the advisory realm, it is more consultative, it is more project-based, so it does require a different attitude to pricing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if automation is going to do anything, it's going to kill hourly billing, right? And if you understand and appreciate the value of pricing, then automation is your friend. And if you don't, then automation is your enemy. Automation is going to make your job happen, so the stuff that you do, the task, so much faster. But the outcome to the buyer is exactly the same. They don't care whether you've done it with a pencil or whether you've done it with a computer. They just want to be able to make clear decisions based on the numbers you've given them. So the outcome to them is the same. The value to them is the same. So now with automation, you get to capitalize and keep the profit because you don't have to do any of the work. I shouldn't say that you don't have to do any of the work, because there's still work with the automation. But it reduces the heavy lifting. So automation, if you learn how to price, automation is on your side.
So there are specific pricing tools out there, are there, that you use, or do you just get them to develop a process whereby they can arrive at the right price themselves?
Yeah, so there are plenty of pricing tools out there. A really accessible, easy read book for pricing tools is The Art of Pricing by Rafi Muhammad. But there's a lot in there that CPAs and accountants don't need to know. So I'll give you the cliff notes of the pricing tools that I use for my clients, right? We use segmented pricing. We segment the population. Just like you've got a tool, like a tool bucket where you've got your hammer and you've got your screwdriver and your drill and all, right? Like, you need to use the right tool. Because if you try and hammer a screw into the wall, it's not going to work, right? You want the screwdriver. So you want segmented because you want to be able to segment the population. You want to be able to offer, you want to use menu pricing so that you can give your clients the choice of yeses. If you just give them one price, that's like an ultimatum, take it or leave it. But if you give them a choice of 3, never 5, because that's too many, 3 is the right number. It helps them decide, how am I working with you, rather than am I working with you? And then we use fixed prices and we use value-based fees in rare occasions when we're doing projects. So with those four tools alone, you can pretty much, you can take your firm off of hourly billing and you can get into hourly pricing. And it's just a matter of asking yourself the question, what does this client need? What outcomes are they looking for? And how can I design the service so that it will deliver on those outcomes, and then you back in to using the pricing tools from there.
Great. I understand that now. I guess I was alluding to any technology or platforms or pricing apps to help them do this, but they really don't need those, do they?
Well, you don't need a pricing app necessarily, because I think that that's just going to get, you know, there again, it's going to get into the formulaic version. It's going to miss out on the subjective aspect of what's valuable to your client. So I don't think that that is it. I think really, in terms of being able to figure out your pricing, it's much more about testing your marketplace and seeing what they like. And the other thing to add in here that we haven't talked about yet is varying payment terms, because certain people like to pay in upfront all at once for a 10% discount or something like that. Some people like to pay over time. So if you change up the financing, if you will, that also provides options for your client where they can negotiate the payment term rather than the price itself.
I can see the value of moving off hourly billing for project-based work, as we've spoken about, but a lot of the work that accountants and CPAs do is still compliance-based, which lends itself to the way they've done it for hundreds of years, the hourly billing. So are you advocating that accountants move away from hourly billing even for the regular compliance?
Yeah, so I would take issue with, you know, they've always done compliance this way and compliance lends itself to hourly billing. I would say that you can still flat rate compliance and you can take your clients for whom you do compliance and group them by what you do for them, and you can flat rate among, so in the US we have 1040. So for your orphan 1040s, you only do their personal return, that's flat rate. Doesn't matter how long it takes, but you've done it long enough that you have a sense that it's a 1040 is not going to take longer than X hours. Right. And you might lose on a few, but on average, you're going to come out ahead. And then you take your business returns of a certain nature for a certain size client, flat rate those. So the easiest place to start when getting off of hourly billing is with the work that you do again and again and again and again. And you have a sense of the scope. And you know that with a bell curve, 95% of the time it's going to come in under X amount of hours. Not that I'm advocating cost plus or hourly plus, but you can, but there's just not a lot of value. There's not a lot of extra money to squeeze from the tax, the compliance sponge at the smaller dollar. So you're not going to make, like, it's something of a loss leader, if you will, and you're using it to get those recurring revenue clients who want more service, more value from your, more value from you all year round. So that's kind of the way in. You don't need to be doing compliance hours and absolutely flat rate it.
And presumably when you work with CPAs, one of the first things you tell them is to raise their existing prices, not necessarily create a different formula for the prices, but put the prices up. And that probably always gets pushback, doesn't it? Why should accountants be scared of putting up their prices?
They shouldn't be scared of putting up their prices. They should welcome it. And mostly they do. I'll tell you why they are scared. They're scared because they get a lot of pushback on price, downward price pressure, because they tend to sell services and they position it as the service. And, you know, if you were to sell me ice cream and just tell me that it was cream and vanilla and sugar and an egg yolk, I'd be like, that doesn't really sound that good. But if you position it as ice cream, now you've got my attention. And CPAs are positioning their services, many CPAs, not all, as the deliverables. And it's very difficult for a business owner to map the deliverables to the outcomes that they want. Most business owners don't understand what bank wreck is. Is that like a train wreck? I don't know. They don't understand these terms. And so for them to try and map them over to the value that that service can potentially provide in their business is very difficult. So if you talk to them in terms, if you sell the outcomes and the value of the outcomes, now that's a different game. And suddenly you get less pushback on the price because the buyer understands the value of it and what it is. So just by way of example here, in terms of putting, in air quotes, putting up prices, or in, as we say, raising prices, raising rates. I was working with a client last week and she said, hey, I want to send this proposal out to this new client. And she said, you know, I think the rate is going to be, I think that I would price this at the rate of X. And I said, I think you could probably double it, but let's get the client on board because I think there's expansion business here. So we came in at about 65% of X in addition, 65% higher. And of course the client said yes, and off she goes. So when we position it correctly, it's much easier to get the prices that you're looking for. And that's just one example of a proposal that went out the door 65% higher than she would have priced it on her own. That's how much margin, how much fat is not, how much profit is not being captured. That's just one example. I could cite plenty of others.
And what would you say to accountants that are in a perhaps larger firm, the fees are set by the firm, there's scorecards or fee rates or rate cards, whatever you call them, and they don't necessarily have the scope or wriggle room to deal with different fees?
I'd say go out on your own.
Yeah, go find a different firm.
If you're not going to get your partner to buy in, I mean, I would talk to your partner and say, hey, there's a lot of profit here that's not being captured. But if you're not going to get your partners to buy in, I don't know what recourse you have other than to either tolerate it or take a flyer and go out and capture that profit for yourself. But I sort of have a low tolerance for these sorts of things.
Well, they're probably the wrong kind of clients if they're really price sensitive, right?
You know, not everybody is ready. It's these changes are not insignificant. And the way that firms have been running has, in air quotes, worked, although I would argue that it, whether or not it's actually working, when I see CPAs working 80 hours a week, week after week after week, I would say that's not working. But I can appreciate the perspective that it has worked this way for hundreds of years. So these changes are not insubstantial, and they do require that it, you know, goes throughout the firm. You can't just do this willy-nilly one-off. It doesn't make sense. The firm needs to commit to making a significant shift. And there will be challenges that need to be worked out. There's no doubt about that. But the rewards are significant. And the clients that I work with typically double their revenue inside a year. And some of them 4x their take-home pay and other results like that. So you just have to ask yourself the question, are those results worth it? Are they worth the pain of change?
And presumably when you work with CPAs, Geraldine, you value price your services to them because you have to practice what you preach.
Yeah. So I start out with flat rate for my one-on-one VIP coaching so that it's the same for everybody. People value transparency. And I have a very narrow market, if you will. So that price makes sense for the market that I serve, which is CPAs in the $1 million in revenue range who are working way, way too hard. So I flat rate at the outset. And then once we've made significant strides and the necessary changes, then we shift to a value-based, more project kind of work where they have, like I was talking about earlier, practicing what I preach, a menu of options that they can choose from.
That makes sense. And accountants that are tentative about not messing with pricing, but stepping into the pricing conversation, which is a courageous conversation, would you advocate, Geraldine, that they start with clients that perhaps don't matter if they get lost or fall away? Or would you advocate that they work with their best clients that are probably more open to a pricing conversation, they have a better relationship with, say?
Yeah. So we pick the clients intentionally to pilot with, and we go for the one that they have the best and most trusting relationship with, so that they can, because the nature of the service can be very different and very new, we want the CPA and the client to be very comfortable with each other, to be able to have transparent conversations about the nature of the shift, so that the CPA can feel comfortable saying, hey, I'm trying this new thing. I'm not quite sure how it's going to go. I think it's going to go like this. And I want to work with somebody who I trust, who trusts me, so that we can figure this out, what this is going to look like together. Once we get a couple of those, then when we want to accelerate it, we tend to go to the one, like you say, who are, you're more kind of like 50-50. If I get them, great. If I don't, that's okay too. And then we move up the scale to the sort of more important, bigger fish once the CPA has more confidence in how it all plays out.
Got it. This has been great, Geraldine. If people want to find out more about what you do, what's a good way for them to reach
you? So the best place to go is to check out my podcast, Business Strategy for CPAs. And if listeners want a daily drip of business strategy of all the good stuff we've just talked about, they can subscribe to my daily drip of great advice at shethinksbigcoaching.com.
She Thinks Big Coaching. That's absolutely right. And well positioned, which makes the pricing easier, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And it's always great to talk with you, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. And Geraldine, leave us with a final thought, a message of hope, if you like. What happens when CPAs and accountants get better at pricing?
Well, their lives get easier. I mean, they get their lives back. right? And they start to pick their head up and go, oh, there's all these aspects of my personal life that I now get to tend to. They get to play with their kids. They have better relationships at home. They get to reinstate self-care, go on walks and runs, and they get to have that while making the same amount, if not more, money. So that's really, at the end of the day, the prize that you get when you make these changes.
Definitely made the sale there. That's great. Geraldine, thank you so much for your time, your passion, and your insights today.
Thanks, Rob. Lovely to be with you.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.